right, I want to ask everyone a favor. As some of you know, I coach the Philippines International Mixed Open Touch Side. We're going to England this year.
Weird, you never mentioned it before.
I might have mentioned it once or twice. So we've got probably one of the youngest open side to ever play a World Cup. I've still got two 15-year-olds. I'm essentially taking this young Philippine side that won the semi-final at Asia Pacific and putting a few senior players in that can go. But that means that I've got lots of school kids trying to raise $7,000 each, you know, working two part-time jobs, relying on parents to a great degree. And because we do have such a wide Filipino community, we decided the best way to fundraise was to do a GoFundMe, because then people can put in as little or as much as they like. And so if you are interested in helping them out, we'll put the link in the show notes, and can you please, you know, drop a couple of Philippine pesos in there.
Or whatever pesos you have equivalent.
Yeah, that's true.
Better if you could use, like, actual currency, so not Australian dollars.
Look, I'll even accept Bitcoin at this stage.
So, listeners, you heard the drill. If you want to see the giant killers of international touch football take a few more scalps on the world stage, you know what to do. Hit that link. MD at your pockets. Do your best.
Thanks, Doc. Where shall we begin? Shall we start with the band that sounds like Britpop, or the band that's supposed to sound like Britpop?
You've lost me.
Well, I guess Oasis was never really Britpop, was it?
Oasis was the founding bloody partner in Britpop, along with Blur.
Yeah. I always thought they were a bit more, I suppose, not really rocky, were they?
But Britpop didn't have a unifying sound. It was just a grab bag. It was just here
a bunch of indie rock bands around at the same time.
Well, it was a reaction to grunge. It was like the British music industry saying, well, we can do good music too. And we're not, you know, because all the grunge came out of the United States and to begin with, in a geographically defined part of the United States. Whereas Britpop was just, I mean, I suppose the unifying feature of Britpop was that it was a new genre, but it was a genre that arced back to a lot of previous British influences, like, you know, like the Beatles and the Stones and the Kinks, but also, you know, there's elements of friggin' skiffle and fucking vaudeville and all kinds of shit in there as well. The Mods and the Rockers and the Who and a whole lot of largely British influences. I mean, it was a magpie genre. It was picking and remixing old stuff. But
so I don't think the Liam Gallagher John Squire thing feels like that. Like I don't know. No,
it doesn't feel anything like it. Well, there are bits in it that feel a little bit Oasis-y. There are some bits of it feel a little bit Stone Rosey, because that's where Squire comes from, particularly the second Stone Roses album, which was much more guitar-driven. But really, what this feels like, and I suppose it's not that surprising because it's another band that shares a lot of the same influences as Oasis, but these guys wrote an Even album.
Yeah, okay.
It sounds so Even-y. I mean, I say they. I mean, there isn't a single Liam writing credit on it. Maybe there should be an Ash Naylor writing credit on it, but it's entirely a John Squire. It's almost like a John Squire solo album that he got a famous vocalist to help with.
It slipped into that adult contemporary feel for me. I was trying to think, there was another band that we did last year or the year before that it was like, this is really competent, but it's so, I don't know if safe's the right word, but so maddeningly...
It's mature. It does feel old. It feels old. I mean, it's also because Liam's voice has kind of matured as well. He's not quite as nasally and astringent. He's kind of a little bit, got a bit more timbre and a bit deeper.
Yeah, I wondered whether that was... I was trying to figure out whether that was actually a bit of auto-tune.
No, I think he's just got older. That's just what his voice has done. The single is Just Another Rainbow, and that's got vibes of late Oasis, like when the, it actually reminded me of Lila, which is one of the like their last album together. I think it was like post all the cocaine and all the rest of it. Their last album together was actually not too bad. But it was kind of too late by then. It was almost like a late career renaissance before they finally went splat. But this stuff, because it was so, you know, in terms of the writing, it's so driven by John Squire, it actually felt more like a solo blues rock album. I mean, there were influences that felt like he wanted to be, you know, a contemporary of Jeff Beck and Eric Clapton and Jimmy Page.
Yep, that's a good call. Because
there was bits of it that there's one track that sounded like a Hendrix B-side, and there was another track that sounded like sort of mid to late Zeppelin. And I quite like that sort of music, so I quite like this album. But I'm not going to pretend it's anything, anything that's going to break any fucking, you know, it's not any great statement about music. It is, as I say, it's kind of adult contemporary in that it's music made for older people to remind them of the music that was good when they were younger.
I ultimately felt a bit bored by it. I don't have quite the same reference as you do, so. I don't know. It was like a, like a fourth Wolf Mother album to me. It's like, okay, I understand that you really like those influences and stuff, but can we hear something a little bit different? But the flip side of that is Yard Act, which I do feel like just slots straight into.
Well, this is certainly isn't something that would bore you. It could repulse you, but it certainly wouldn't bore you.
Well, I actually think, like, you could lay this down to a Pulp or a Blur or, a, you know, one of those Britpop acts quite easily in period, and this would have been received quite well.
Well, as long as they didn't listen to any of the lyrics, because this cunt needs therapy. it was really... It's so fucking grim. Yeah, it's just so nihilistic. Oh, fucking Christ. I did not... I've listened to this once and I was like, he's got some interesting beats in here, but I don't want to fucking hear it. But it's like an unwilling participant in his
therapy,
in an emergency intervention in the fucking the emergency psychiatric ward. It was really unpleasant. Yep. And the Blackpool Illuminations kind of underlines the point of this album. The whole thing is therapy. It's almost like pitched as a therapy session between him and someone else turns out to be his son. They're trying to explain, you know, why his entire life he'd been completely locked out from all emotions and all this sort of stuff. I'm like, I don't remember the first album being anywhere near this fucking miserable. Just really unpleasant.
I guess that
this is my fault for listening to the lyrics.
Like, you know how I am sometimes. Unless I really love an album, I'm not deep into the lyricism of it. It's funny.
I mean, why would you be into lyrics? It's not like you're a hip hop fan. What are lyrics?
Well, I was just thinking about how Sims is, you know, Grey Area has a little bit of that therapy on record, but that seems to work a lot better. And I wonder whether it's just because it's not as dark and desperate. It's a little bit more angry. It's a little bit more proactive.
Well, there's no songs that are about trying to kill yourself.
No.
There are no songs about, you know. It's pretty fucking. Yeah, I just wasn't fucking here for that this week, or any week, to be fair. I mean, sonically, fine, you know. We Make Hits kind of hits the premise of, because we were talking last week about, you know, what is dance rock? Well, We Make Hits is a perfect example of what that is. And Petroleum gave kind of Beck vibes. But yeah, Down by the Stream was really fucking, you know, therapy should be on the NHS. It was like a long, angry apology to a kid he bullied in school, but also making the point that he was going to end up bullying his own children and being a violent, abusive parent as well. And I'm like, great, thanks for sharing,
do we have
pal.
To hear that?
Yeah, I'm cool. I was, you know, I'm cool with not knowing that.
All right.
So congratulations, you get album of the week, because the Meat Bodies album was definitely better than everything else.
I quite like this Meat Bodies album.
I more than quite liked it. I've you know, this is really nicely executed, blissed out, psych stoner garage rock. And by fuck, I needed that after being an unwilling party to old mate's fucking emergency psychiatric service counselling session. So congratulations, you get to pick the next Joker for the next episode you're on in like a month or whatever the fuck you're
going. Which I'm not going to do now because there might be a lot released between now and then.
No, Adam and I have picked albums and we'll splice them in later.
Nicely Executed is right, and this is sort of like your comment about being like really well put together is just so spot on for this album. It just does not feel like, whether it's the band or the producer, it just doesn't feel like it's got any weak spots.
Yeah, it's certainly better than 333, their last album that we reviewed. They've got an hour of music and it doesn't feel like they're repeating themselves. Yeah. They're certainly in the same vibe for the whole thing, but it's a good vibe to be in. It's a really interesting and good, cool flow. It's good fun.
Yeah, great fun. Like one listen through straight onto my short list.
Yep, same.
For the year, or my long list, I guess.
A list of undetermined length.
Yeah, list of interesting things to revisit anyway.
Yes, and Gallagher and Squire are not on my long list, but there is still an unofficial list of albums that are like, I don't have a problem listening to this album. I actually quite like it, but it's not it's not going to be in contention for the discussion. So normally at this time we would pick new albums for next week, but none of us are going to be here next week, and the week after Adam and I are going to be back. So over to Adam and me.
Music.
We've got Adam. He's hung around after the 400th episode. He's been sitting there for 3 days. I hope he hasn't lost the will to live. Adam, you're going to join us in a couple of weeks to do music. Music. Dying.
Music. Music.
We need to pick some albums for us to ruminate on for the next little while before we come back and do them. What have you got in mind? What would you like to pick for your new album?
Well, there's two I did see the coming up, and you did mention one of them a little while ago. I'm not sure if I should leave that one for you, or they're both very you area albums anyway, and probably me area albums.
I feel discriminated against.
Well, no, I think it's square into your wheelhouse actually. But I you did mention the Invincible Shield.
Invincible Shield Priest would be more fucking Captain America area.
Yes.
Invincible Shield is the new album by Judas Priest, legends of the new wave of British heavy metal, which was Czech's Watch, 1978 through to 1983. So not exactly recent, but I have heard a few tracks off it, and they are sounding thrash-tastic. I don't know whether this will be a False Dawn like that Metallica album where they started with a hiss and a roar and then just kind of settled into a groove of the same kind of post-load, dirging, bowel movement-y kind of chunking along that they always do. But Judas Priest had never been that sound, so it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, there's a lot of very positive sort of user reviews I can see so far. And that's good. You know?
And they haven't done an album for about 5 years. Their last album was extremely thrashy. It was called Firepower. Yeah. It was almost thrashier than anything that they'd done in their previous time. So that should be pretty good. Yeah. So that's kind of a joint pick. The other one that might be a bit of a joint pick is the new Black Crowes album, which is just dropping. Yeah. And this is their first album since
15 years.
Since 2008. And that was only like their most recent albums were like 2001, 2008, now. Mm. And that was after they broke up at the end of the 90s. So this band has broken up. And I mean, they're a bit like the American Oasis, the two brothers who were constantly fighting, except they finally got back together again and have gotten on the same page. So, I'm looking forward to their new album. So those are two albums we're going to put on the docket. I suppose given that we've got a band from the 70s, a band from the 90s, we probably need to bring something to the table that's a little bit more fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to suggest a English band called Talk Show, who do kind of guitar-driven dance music. And this is their very first album is being dropped at the moment. So I reckon between those three, we should have a decent spread of tunes for when we talk to you again before Easter.
There it was, me thinking that when you were going to pick something modern in amongst the Metacritic, then you were going to choose Everything I Thought It Was by Justin Timberlake, which thankfully for both of our references, not that we knew this, has a ridiculously low Metacritic score already, because you're shocked that Justin Timberlake's album is a steaming pile of dog shit.
Well, you know, it's probably being reviewed by girls over the age of 25, which is, you know... Obviously, there's an incompatibility there.
It's still got 53 on Metacritic, which is, I think, is about as low as you can go, really.
That's around what Kanye and Ty Dolla $ign's album was getting. So,
oh, nice.
So, yeah, it's because Metacritic. Yeah. I mean, Metacritic is kind of like the Rotten Tomatoes of music reviewing. It sort of collects together credible reviews. I don't think it has as many user review components to it, but it's usually relatively. Relatively decent, and generally, you know, when we've picked albums this year, that they've been from the green ones, and some of those have been shit. Yes. So that proves that critics don't know anything.
That's right. Sounds good.
Back to the show.
Music. It's funny this week. It just wasn't. It wasn't sort of like super interesting week, but because the one album was just really, like you said, like really competent, and then. The other two albums were sort of flawed in their own ways.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Squire Solo Blues album was flawed. I just thought it wasn't. Actually, no, I don't have any criticism of it. I just think thought it was sort of unremarkable.
Yeah,
which, you know, it wasn't great, but we have heard a lot of terrible fucking legacy albums over our time, and Adam and I might be reviewing some of them.
Yeah, I thought that Black Crowes one might be. Might be interesting.
But- yeah, well, have a listen to it as well and let me know when we talk to you again in May. you get on. How many weeks are you out for?
The next two.
Yeah. So you're back, what?
And then I've got a training camp, I think, 3 weeks after that.
So you're back for the week after Easter. So yep. we could feasibly pick albums offline.
Easter weekend.
Yeah, Easter weekend, and I can drop them in on the episode where because I'm gonna talk to Adam on Easter Sunday. That's the day that we're going to record next. So
yeah,
That should be fine. This is going to be a shorter music episode this week because we had a really fucking long sports episode. If you're running out of content, you can always go back and listen to that. Although
that's right,
we did somehow manage to talk about music in the sports podcast because we can't fucking help ourselves.
Yeah, go back and get into the second half of that one.
Yes.
All right, Doc. All right, I'll talk to you in about a month's time.
I think that's it, and I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. This has been Tripping Balls, and these podcasts are harder to do when you're sober.
Yep. Yeah, midday ones are always hard, but I have started drinking, so.
If I start drinking now, I'm not going to...
Well, it's earlier for me, remember?
I do not drink like that anymore, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah. All right. I'll catch you later.
Catch you, man.
See ya. Growing up disgracefully, I got time. So much younger than I used to be. I feel fine. I love you forever and ever.
Hello.
Hello.
That would be the one musician out of the three of us, perhaps.
Chew.
Check one, two. While we were waiting outside to go in and see Pink, I was like ecstatic to see that they were still sound checking inside. I could hear the poor one sound guy who probably standing on stage going, one, two. I'm like, he's speaking my language, man, you know.
Well, they haven't invented a better way of checking whether the levels are right and whether it's popping.
Yeah, that's right. And just their system was a touch bigger than mine. Just a touch. Just a little bit.
What are you compensating for?
Pretty much everything.
That's what they've got to ask themselves.
Should we actually do a proper intro this time? Like, you know, should we have like a clean in or something like that? You know,
why start now?
You know, this is our contender to go up against like Kyle and Jackie O or something like that, isn't it? Or Hamish and Andy always win all the awards.
We don't appear five times in the fucking Daily Mail every day, so you know, there's not really much we can do.
That's true.
Fucking intros, who does them? Fucking clown show. We don't want to give people the impression that we're more professional than we are, particularly if they're joining us this late in proceedings. That we don't want to. The start as you mean to continue, and there's continue as you mean to continue.
True.
That was chaos. Fucking stupid, isn't it? should be banned.